Amen. He shall reign forever and ever. And so shall we, if we will pay the price. Okay, how's everybody doing out there in Pow Talk Land? Welcome to another Sunday evening with Zion's Trumpet. Yours truly, Brother Daniel. How's your Christmas season going? Irma says, good. Good. All right. Man, some people must be going so horrible they can't speak. Okay, well, we have James and Andrew over here, so they won't be on the chat room. They're over here. We're going to have a little boys' choir night tonight. Come on in, guys. We're going to sing some carols for you. Okay, we're going to sing about four carols here. We're going to start off with the Maid in the Manger. Here we go, boys.
Away in the manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the poor baby wakes. But little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky. And stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay. Close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care. And take us to heaven to live with thee there.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching o'er silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when lo, above the earth rang out the angels' chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in the lowly manger, the humble Christ was born. And God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. That Jesus Christ is born.
Okay, amen. Next, what we're going to do is the first Noel.
The first Noel, the angel did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay. In fields where they lay, keep cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. They looked up and saw a star shining in the east beyond them far, and to the earth it gave good light, and so it continued both day and night. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. And by the light of that same star, three wise men came from country far to seek for a king. Was their intent, and to follow the star wherever it went. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. Then entered in those wise men three, full reverently on bended knee, and offered there in his presence their gold and myrrh and frankincense. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing hallelujah, Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
Okay. My voice is shot. I can't even sing. Anybody have anything to share before we start here? Anything on your mind tonight? Looks like Irma wants to share something. Go ahead, Irma. You got the mic. Go ahead.
I get all shook up here. I thank the Lord computer is working. Hallelujah. I just wanted to say that you had a very provocative program this week on the horrifying tragedy in Newtown, Connecticut. Your response to the reasons and the why these things are happening were spoken with anointed truth. Nothing much I could add to that, except I can guarantee Obama will fall. Romans 14:11, quote, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God," unquote. What a great and glorious day that will be. As we live in these evil, most wicked days, what a comfort and peace I find it is to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, God, Psalm 91. This is the greatest promise to those endeavoring to endure to the end. So I say, keep pressing forward. It will be worth it all. And another comment, I was so overjoyed when I had the privilege to visit the magnificent display to honor our Lord Jesus that all of you put together. I felt the glory of God, and the only way to describe it, quote, absolutely awesome. And I just want to say, God bless each one of you, and I pray you all have a very blessed and Merry Christmas. That's all. Thank you, Dan.
Thanks, Irma. I'm glad you enjoyed it. We put a lot of work into it. I'm going to put a video of it up on the website probably Monday or Tuesday. So thank you. And Merry Christmas to you and everybody else. Anybody else have anything like to share? Before we start here. Oh, we've got some of the guys here going to share, I think. Here comes Andrew. Hang on.
There you go. You're speaking that? Just talk right there.
All right. Good evening, everyone. I just wanted to get on tonight and share something that blessed me this past week. The other night, we watched one of my very favorite Christmas movies called The Nativity Story. If you've not seen this movie yet, I highly recommend it. This movie blesses me so much, and I always get something new out of it. This time, I was struck by the sacrifice of honor that Joseph had to give in order to take Mary as his wife. Joseph was betrothed to Mary, which meant that for 1 year it was as though they were married, with one exception, which was that they both remained pure. Joseph chose Mary as his wife because she was a woman of virtue. Later, Joseph found out that she was with child, which obviously would not look good on Joseph's honor. Thus, he had planned to secretly send her away, that his honor might be kept. After the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph, he became willing to sacrifice his honor for the sake of God's son. Joseph likely looked like a fool to most people, because very few people probably would have believed that Mary was with child by the Holy Spirit. Joseph was willing to become a fool for Christ's sake. Just the same, Jesus also laid aside everything for our sakes. I'm reminded of the verse in the song, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," which says, quote, "Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die," unquote. That is, that man may die no more eternally. It has been on my heart a lot this past month, the importance of dying to self, that the life of Christ might come forth. Just as Jesus laid aside his glory, and just as Joseph laid aside his honor, so we must also lay aside everything for Jesus. This life is not about seeking our own glory and honor, but rather it is seeking how much of our glory and honor we will sacrifice for the Lord. There have been many ways that I have had to die to self this year, and I praise the Lord for exposing it that I might come forth in Him. I have done many things that make me look like a fool in the eyes of the world, and I am willing to be a fool for Christ's sake. In closing, I just wanted to say Merry Christmas to everyone out there in Pal Talk Land. Thank you, and back to Dan.
Very good. Good share. Amen. Praise the Lord, Andrew. Amen. Anybody else? Well, maybe afterwards. Okay. You know, there's all kinds of deception out there. And, of course, most of it has to do with the easy way to get to heaven. But we're not so much concerned about that kind of deception. We're concerned about the kind of deception that comes out here when people leave the churches, what they get into out here. Because these are the people we're trying to minister to anyway, for the most part. And I just like to say that there are false paths to perfection. And they don't actually lead to perfection. They lead to a state of total, absolute self-delusion. And many people have come out here, and because they're too proud or too vain or they're not willing to die in some area or whatever, they end up listening to people who are preaching a false path to perfection. A couple years ago, you may remember, some women started coming to my chat room here. And these ladies had already come out of the church system before they ever met me. They had already received some kind of understanding about the message or the concept of going on to perfection before they ever met me. And they were happy to attend the chat room here until I started teaching some things that didn't quite fit their understanding of what perfection is or how you get to perfection. And I soon realized that they were both under the influence of another woman's teaching who also had come out of the church system and who also believed in the concept of the teaching of going on to perfection, but who was teaching the very wrong and dangerous things. The first time I exposed this woman's wrong teaching in the chat room, I purposely didn't mention her name because I wanted to see if these two ladies who had been coming to the chat room would recognize the error that was being taught. But neither of them said anything to me. So the next time I exposed this woman's error, I mentioned her by name. And of course, those two women went ballistic. And after receiving a letter from them, as well as the woman I exposed, they dropped me like a hot potato. You know, they were convinced I was deceived. I answered each of those letters that they sent and explained from the scripture why they were wrong, but of course it was to no avail because they had already been deceived. They were already on the wrong track, wrong path. Over the next couple of years, I kept an eye on this one lady, see the spiritual direction she was going, because we had developed a little bit of a relationship through email, and so I kept an eye on what direction she was going by watching her blog. I was hoping that at least this one would get out of that error she was in. But it didn't happen. She kept on preaching the same stuff. About 6 months ago, I noticed that the woman I had exposed, the one of these two women were walking under, she had come up with some wild and crazy theory about the abomination of desolation. I ain't going into it. It was just wacko. So I wrote this one sister that I was hoping, you know, she could see the absurdity of what her friend is now teaching. And I asked her if she really believed what this woman was teaching. Well, she emailed me back, and her answer regarding that specific question about whether she believed what this other woman was teaching was very evasive. She never answered. But in the course of that email, she did share that she had entered a kind of spiritual walk that some still refer to as the fullness. There was a term going around a long time ago, back in the 50s and 60s, called the fullness, and people thought they were walking in the fullness of Christ. And she said this thing was an experience, wasn't just a doctrine, and that it had changed her personality in some very important areas. She no longer got impatient. She no longer answered back in kind when people, you know, were nasty to her or whatever. Her personality, her heart was filled with grace and full of love on the inside. And then she started to chastise me with a lot of grace, of course, a lot of love, for preaching the message of going on to perfection, but at the same time, not really believing it. And finally, she recommended the writings of a man named Steve Bray. And I don't know when this guy lived, but apparently he also thought he had entered the same kind of fullness, and he had written some articles and some books, and they were on the same track, her and this guy. So she sent me a copy of one of his writings, which I read very carefully, and after reading it, you should be able to see that this guy's deceived. So I wrote this sister back. I pointed out a few of the things that he taught that were obviously wrong, things I thought she should have caught, things she would have caught 2 years before, and I informed her that I do believe it's possible to go on perfection. But whenever somebody tells me or insinuates that they have reached that point, before I start rejoicing over them, I'm going to make sure they're partaking of the real thing and not some demonic counterfeit. I also told her that Steve Bray had been deceived by a false experience, and she had been deceived as well by that same false experience. And I apologized for even contacting her in the first place. I acknowledged it wasn't the Lord's will. It was just my own will. I wished to see her free, and I said it won't happen again, and I wished her well, you know. But I'm convinced now that there's no hope for this sister. Just as it's nearly impossible to save a person who's convinced they're already saved, so it's nearly impossible to deliver someone from an influence of a counterfeit Christ once that counterfeit Christ has radically transformed their personality and they've had this deep religious experience where it's changed their life. Because for them, it's not doctrine anymore. It's not teaching. It's experience. You know, there's no doubt in my mind. You can't argue doctrine against experience. Well, after I wrote her that email and, you know, ended our little conversation, I remembered that many years ago, a long time ago, 20, 25 years ago, when I was still a very young Christian, someone sent me a book by a woman. I believe her name was Mary Robinson or Robeson or something. She was involved in some church out in Illinois called Zion Tabernacle, or it was in Zion, Illinois. I don't know what it, I can't remember what it was, but this woman claimed that she also had entered what was called the Life of Fullness. Both my mother and I read it, and after we read it, we both felt absolutely sick spiritually, because it's obvious that this woman entered that kind of life she was describing through passivity. Now, at that time, we already knew enough about the working of demon spirits to know that passivity opens a person up to the demonic world just almost as fast as anything else will. And that book was so sickening spiritually when I read it, I had to throw it away. I couldn't even keep it for reference, you know, as a reference to deception. It was so horrible. It was such a blackness that came over with it. I had to pitch it. And that was years before I knew anything about how powerful these religious spirits could be, how powerful the spirit of Antichrist was. And I realized when I was writing this woman this last email, I realized that way back then, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, God was warning us and maybe even trying to prepare us to face the reality of these spirits. They were already loose at that time even. They had the power to transform a person, a Christian, to such an extent that they become convinced they have been fully conformed to the image of Christ, that they're walking in the fullness of Jesus. We've run into it three or four times. First is this woman, Robinson. And then years later, a brother and sister came over to our house who mom had known earlier, hadn't seen it for years and years. They came over. Somehow they reconnected and they came over for fellowship. And this guy said his old man was dead. You know, his Adamic nature was dead. And of course, that's unscriptural. So I was kind of arrogant and bold and cocky at that time. And I knew it was a lie. Not only from the scripture, but I could feel, you know, the Lord told me to lie. My spirit was agitated. And so I pushed this guy to a corner with scripture verses until finally he acted out and he went to take his fist and almost slammed our glass table with his fist. You know, and I said, I thought I saw the old man right there. I backed him into a corner so he had to react and he had to see that the old man wasn't dead. At that point, he had just controlled it and stopped his old man from breaking our table. It was still there. No, so these guys were so confused. That was one more. This guy believed they had reached the fullness of Christ. Of course, the most drastic one was when I told you about that before, Quebec, this Canadian guy named Frank. He thought he had reached perfection. He thought he had the Holy Ghost before he even gave his life to Jesus for 2 years. I mean, it was crazy. So slowly, I look back and I see the Lord's been showing us and trying to prepare us and letting us know that these spirits have been out there for a while. And if the devil can't keep you from hearing the message of going on to perfection, then he'll try and get you off on a false path to perfection. And that's happened to a lot of people who came out of the churches, especially back in 1948 when his first big call came on to go outside the system. And these people didn't leave because the church was in apostasy and everybody's going bonkers. They left because they heard another word, a deeper word to go on to perfection. And they came out voluntarily following a deeper revelation. But many of them got off, totally off, and they're into wild, crazy doctrines right now. So if the devil can't keep you from hearing the word, then what he does is he tries to get you off on a false way to get that word carried out in your life. And that's what happened to this lady. Well, that happened to all three of them. So tonight I'm going to start this and just give you some hints, some clues, maybe what to look for. And of course, and I've said a hundred times in this room, we're not in the habit of throwing the baby out of the bathwater. This is not a nitpicking situation here. Just because a preacher or a teacher doesn't have their doctrine 100% straight, that doesn't necessarily mean they're a false prophet or false teacher or anything like that. We try to, you know, eat the meat and spit out the bones, as they say, if it's possible to do so. Unfortunately, many times it's not possible. Many times there is no meat. This is all bones. In addition, sometimes the bones are so bad they destroy any meat the minister has. So in those cases, you got to just reject the whole person's ministry. It's no good just to try get the meat and separate everything. It's, the whole thing's defiled so bad, you know, you got to just chuck the whole thing. So we're not just picking on this guy, Steve Bray, to make ourselves look wonderful and feel good. I'm going to look at, start by chapter 1 in one of the books he wrote. The book is called The Way to Eternal Life. And as I read this, you'll notice that most of it sounds good. To a certain point, maybe you'll get it. You'll see where it goes off. But most of it sounds good. And this is why people like this guy are so dangerous. They preach a message of going on to perfection. They support that message from the scripture. That's not where deception is. Deception is found in how we reach that goal. What path you take to reach that goal. That's where deception is laid. So people come out of the churches and they hear this message, oh, going on to perfection. Yes, that's my goal. But then they get involved with people who have are in some kind of counterfeit. And the path they put these people on is a counterfeit path to a counterfeit perfection that blinds them to their state. And they walk in total self-delusion from then on.